get to see this first few seconds here of me waving my arms, looking like a bird over here, and saying, hey, welcome to Church Prep. This is our drum roll edition, a Monday. Have you made it through a Monday? Are you glad to be alive today? Ooh, I am. I certainly am. Great, we got it there. Double check over here and make sure we're live. Oh, that's right. It's time for some good old Monday drum roll. Oh, and yes, let's roll that intro. Oh, so exciting. Hey, are you excited to be here Monday? Oh, you're a friend of the show, right? You've jumped on here on a Monday. You're like, what's going on with Mark? Is he going to do another song? Yes, yet another song. It's number 24 out of 120. Oh, I'm so glad that you made it tonight. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Church Prep with MWD Monday Drumroll. I am Mark W. Douglas. Let's start things off with a prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Thank you for joining me on a happy Monday drum roll. Ha, are you ready for a 5-song concert tonight? That'll be later. I'm going to grab that guitar and I'm going to hit you with 5 awesome songs that I've already released. But first, it's time to introduce the song of the week's title and lyrics. Do you know the title? Do you know? The number 24 song of the week is titled Pick Me Up, Lord. Pick me up, Lord. And here it is. Let's read those lyrics. Pick me up, Lord. I got my thumb out for you to pick me up, lift me up. I got my thumb out for you to take me there, way beyond compare. And I can see your light is shining down all over me. Pick me up, Lord. I got my thumb out. I'm gonna wave you down to the ground. I got my thumb out. I need a long ride high above the sky. And I can feel your love is lifting. It's lifting me so closer from me to you. Pick me up, Lord. And you say that you wanna be closer and closer to me. Well, maybe all I need is you and me. I'm praying I will be the one. Let me be the one. Let me be the one. Pick me up, Lord. Pick me up, Lord. Pick me up, Lord. And that is the lyrics for tonight. Pick me up, Lord. I didn't want to actually sing the song or you'd understand what the ahs mean. And there's a melody that's going to just take you on a ride with that. I can't explain it to you, but it's one of my best. It's one of my best. Have you ever been hitchhiking? Ever been hitchhiking? Can't wait to talk about, sing this song, 15th song on Sunday. Can't wait to talk about the backstory on Wednesday. I can't really say that I wrote this song about hitchhiking, but it made sense whenever I came up with the line, "Pick me up, Lord." And then I thought, you know, yeah, I could do the hitchhiking thing with Jesus. Yeah, that'd be good. That's just a good, that's a good guy to pick you up, right, on the side of the road when you need help. Oh, yeah, I will tell my story about being, about hitchhiking one time. You know, that's just not a thing anymore, right? We got Uber now. Come on, you got to have some friends or a cell phone, you know, to call them. I guess back then when I hitchhiked before, yeah, maybe all I had was a pager. Don't remember those. I don't remember specifically. You see me wiping my eyes over here. I tell you what, the pollen may have gotten to me today, but getting a lot of work done. Also, looking at a screen doesn't help. Just a reminder, too, that a couple things, that we are not live on Facebook tonight, and that will be the way it is until, I guess, I get a lot more followers, and I guess I have a following. And their excuse was that maybe I was new to Facebook, but of course I've been, I think I've had a page on Facebook as a songwriter, Mark, you know, the same page for over a decade. So that's not the reason. And of course, I've been on Facebook on my personal page for probably more, a decade and a half. So that's not the reason. So it's clearly I don't have enough followers, which is totally fine. That's fine. They'll still allow me to upload the live video after the show. We'll be uploading the HD. You actually get an HD version because it'll be the hard drive version that's being saved right here on my hard drive. Well, maybe it's the same thing. Anyway, that's true. I think it's the same exact version that you would have gotten live. Okay. And then this, another little note here, just to remind everybody. Yeah, I don't have a dip in my mouth here, in my lower lip. It's just unfortunate because I've had Invisalign for 4.5 years now, thinking that it was only going to take 2.5 years. When that was long when they projected. They were like, oh, you won't even last 2.5 years. These teeth will be fixed. And they just couldn't fix the bottom row. I just kept going back for more scans and more trays for 4.5 years, folks. Just unreal. And this is under the care of an orthodontist. So finally, he just said, let me put on some braces. Come on, man. And he never asked me before, but I was like, sure, let's do it. He may have asked me early on, but of course, I didn't want to do that. I wanted to take them out so I could eat food, floss my teeth, and put them back in. Anyway, it's been quite a journey. You don't talk about patience. Been quite a journey. All right, so that's that little upkeep. Pick me up, Lord. Pick me up. Oh, boy. So, yeah, I thought, you know, I definitely want to, obviously, Monday's a wishy-washy, mishmash, hodgepodge of things that we could talk about, right? About the song. We don't want to give away too much for a Wednesday show. Remember, on Friday's show, we talk about the biblical references and inferences that I do in my song to the Bible. Pick me up, right? Pick me up, Lord. And so I thought, you know, maybe Monday on a consistent basis, until we get more followers, I could just at least kind of go over and maybe can try to convince you just a little bit more about what I'm trying to say on certain things, right? And what this show has really kind of evolved into is probably, I don't even think it evolved into it. I think it's always been this way. And I'm just understanding it better now because, I mean, the songs are what they are. I've been writing these songs for, you know, 30 years now. And you guys are the first people to hear them right out of my mouth here on Sunday mornings. I would say no one has ever heard these songs, just maybe a handful of people throughout the years. My wife, you know, children and stuff. So you're getting to hear songs that not only have I worked on them for the last 30 years, yeah, I've perfected them. So how about that? I've got them on copyright with the Library of Congress and all that good stuff. Went through an amazing vetting process to get there. And now as I'm explaining what the songs are saying on Monday and Wednesday and Friday, what's coming out is clearly I've got a real conviction for fixing the church. But I think fixing me in the songs and fixing how we are perceiving what the Bible is telling us. And again, it's all kind of embedded in the songs that I've written. Like, it's always been a burden of mine to see this soft way that we define Christianity within the church. because I've always been like, well, what about the action? What I'm not, y'all, and when you think of action, you just think, well, what do you mean, Mark? You mean going down and feeding people at the homeless shelter? What action are you talking about? And I can't sit here and list for you all the things, but just in part, what has God called you to do? You know, in part, like, and so it's so easy to define some of these things. We don't have to put on these special goggles to understand this. Okay, so let me just, again, I'll just kind of start from scratch and try to help you out a little bit and help you understand. And then maybe by me saying it to you, you will have questions and you will say, you know, Mark, I don't see it that way. Or maybe, Mark, wow, man, you really hit me with that. That really makes a lot of sense. So we begin by the basic premise, right? We all have free time, right? Let's just start. I love this simplicity. Let's make it simple. Let's not make this complicated. You and I both have free time. Now, I was thinking about this, just trying to ponder it, and it's real simple. Let's just, for the moment, we're going to exclude people like pastors that are clearly so their work time, quote unquote, work time is doing salvation and discipleship. So we're going to exclude those people from the following things that I want to present to you. All right. So we're talking about the layman of the church. You know, you aren't getting paid, but you're also, you just have a regular old job. And I'm not talking about, so anyway, let me just keep it simple. Sorry, I can fumble a little bit and I don't want to do that. So what is it that you do when you get off of work? That's your free time. Okay, Mark, you got me. Okay, I got you. I think I'm with you. My free time. So I want you, I can't do it. I want you to define, what are you doing in your free time? What am I doing? What's my hobby, right? And so that is essentially, this is objectively true. This isn't me making it true. It's objectively true. Whatever you are doing in your free time, that's where your heart is. That's where your money is. You know, I would assume that's where your money, you put your money into whatever it is that you love, right? And that's what you do in your free time. And that money may be a multitude of things, right? So we have to look at, obviously you would have to look at all of them and see, okay, yeah, okay. So maybe you could have, why not we come up with a top three list, right? And this is where I spend most of my time. Top three. And this is where I spend most of my money. Top three, right? And now we know, again, objectively true, we know where your heart is. And we know, because that's where your time and money is. That's where your heart is. That's where your time and money. Okay, so good. We're there. Now, understanding what's on that list, let's try to keep it simple. Top three times, top three of the time, top three of the money. So now, is this glorifying God? So I want to push back a little bit on one little thing here. The act of going to church, is that what God has called you to do? Well, no, that doesn't make any sense, does it? The act of going to church. And while I'm at church, I'm a door greeter. No, that's not really what God's called me to do. Because I'm already there. I'm already attending. So the fact that I helped being a door greeter, that's not really what God's called me to do. Okay, we could go on, right? Well, I'm a layman, but I'm also a Sunday school teacher. Okay. Was that the ultimate thing of what God's called you to do? I'm trying to walk very carefully around these spots because that's tricky, right? But you know, I'm already going to be at church. I was talking that loud here. I'm already going to be there, right? I'm already there. I mean, how hard was it, right? How much time and effort? How many hours? We're talking a lot of free time here. What are you doing with your free time? So then we have to go, oh no, it really got me. I really thought I was serving God there, Mark, for a second before you started blabbing. And so what I want you to see is that this, that we have a plethora of time, energy, and money that is being spent to things that are not what God has called you to do. Okay? And so what do we spend, how much time, screen time, you know, because good old Apple, now they show you the screen time. You know, you can get in that app now. I'm sure on the other phones, you can do it too. You can see how much screen time you have. Ooh, how many hours a day? How many hours a week? Ooh. And then let's compare that to the effort you're doing. Let's say that you are a Sunday school teacher. You see what I'm saying? It's not even comparable because the ratio is so absurd. Ooh. No, I'm okay. Come on, Mark. No, you don't have to say all this, do you? You don't have to put the Holy Spirit on me. You don't have to convict me with all these shows. Okay. And then I want you to look. I want you to look, and I want you to just look outside the window. Just, you know, you got curtains over there. Do you really want to look out? And you look outside the window, and you just peek out a little bit, and you see a world that has gone to you know what. If somebody is living in Peyton Place, I want you to text me. I want you to. Are you living in a fantasy world? In the obviously I'm United States here, America. Are you living in a fantasy world where you can peek out those blinders and everything is just peaches and cream? Or is it obvious that the entire system is broken? This is objectively true, folks. So I'm just trying to set up. Now, why did he bring up what's happening outside my house? He's talking about, you know, first he's telling me about my free time. Now he's telling me about the hell that's going on outside my house. What's your point, Mark? Right? So we have to understand that. I'm laughing because it's like you do understand that the baton, right? That Jesus, the God of the universe, is handing out to you and me. He's waiting on you to grab the end of that baton. He's waiting on you to grab the end of the baton and take off. And I had to look at myself starting this show. I had to look deep in myself and in my heart, and I had to say, am I ready to pick up the baton and use skills that I've been using in my everything that I do, skills with fitness for the last 24 years, skills with DJing and music and equipment and all this sound equipment and all this technical stuff. Do I really want to use all my brains for Jesus? Do I really want to use all of my knowledge, that the wisdom that I've collected over the past 30 years to serve God? I mean, I'm laughing because you have skills too. You have unbelievable levels of energy that I don't have. You're in a place that I'm not at. If we all grabbed the end of the baton and said, here am I, Lord, use me. Here am I, Lord. This makes me want to cry. Here am I, Lord, use me. But you look out that window and we are not doing it. It's not opinionated. It's objectively true. Excuse me, objective. It's objectively true. Look out that window. No one is grabbed. Not many. You know, I mean, you know, when I say no one, when I use pejorative, when I use an adjective like all, when I say all, I don't mean all. I mean most, okay? But it's just the way that we say things down here in the South. Y'all, that's kind of like all. Y'all this and y'all that. So forgive me for the all sometimes, okay? So this is where we're at. And this is where, you know, talking about this song, Pick Me Up, Lord. The chorus, let me be the one. Let me be the one. Fighting for that baton, the other end of that baton. And I'm telling you, this is the greatest thing. This is that baton is the greatest little example of what the heck is going on in this, in the Christian world. It is an, it is God holding the baton on one end and the Christians just looking at it and acting like they don't see it, looking up at the sky and going, oh, look at the pretty birds and look at the pretty sky and look at the, oh, the color. Oh, I don't see that big baton up there in the, I don't see that's right here beside my head and I don't even see it. I see everything but the baton God has for me to grab. It's embarrassing to a level of disgust. So this is where we get twisted. This is where we get twisted, okay? All right. So let me go a little step further, right? So it is obvious the following. This is so far. I hope you're with me. I hope you've grabbed on to what I'm saying. So now let's take the next tiny little step. Because by the way, I'm getting every time, you know, I'm on my 24th week here, but every little week I'm getting a little bit better at saying it, okay? All the things that I want to say. So we're going to take the next tiny little step, right? And this whole idea about judging. So what is the Bible, right? The Bible is a lot of things, but and it is definitely whatever you want to call it, right? The Bible does say, thou shalt not judge. We didn't say thou shalt not, you know, it says be judged lest you be judged, right? We get this. This is where Christians are hung up. Yet, oh, what's that, Mark? You say the word yet. That means there's like a but, comma. But what is a pastor doing? Well, Mark, let's see. He's telling me about my sin. He's telling me about my sin, right? And so, and then by proxy, that's what the Bible's doing too, right? So the Bible's telling you about your sin, and the pastor's telling you about your sin, and he's the only person in this whole gosh darn world that has the ability to tell me and remind me about my sin in a way that's presented in a message form with Bible verses included. He's the only one. Hey, where's my red button? I don't have a red button. Do I need to get a red button? Burr. That's my buzzer. Burr. And why is it a massive burr? Because there's this little thing that it's called, you know what it's called? It's the second thing we're supposed to be doing after getting saved. It's this little thing called discipleship. Are you telling me that only the pastor can disciple you? Where is my red button when I need it? Burr. So what is it called? What is discipleship? I've never seen it. Now, to be clear, I've never seen it one-on-one. I've seen it in a group setting. I've never heard about it through the grapevine. I've never seen about it in the grapevine one-on-one. I've only seen, so in essence, when we go to church every Sunday, we are getting a group talking to, a group scolding. And I want you to walk over to that window and tell me if it's working. Do you see where I'm going? It's not working. En masse. It's not working. Not all. This little group talking to ain't working. And why isn't it working? So we have to unpack that. And I've already let you know, because you and I are supposed to be discipling each other. End of story. Like, period. Full stop. We're supposed to be disciple. And how do we do that? How do we disciple each other? Well, we become a little bit more than friends. We become family, the family of God. Believers, not just family, blood family, literal family of God, Christian believers that has a buddy. You have a buddy? Do you have a buddy? Do you have a friend, a girlfriend, a guy friend? Do you have buddies? And you know that they're a Christian? You know that they're disgusted by all this stuff out there in the world? Okay, this is what you're supposed to be doing with that buddy. You take it to the next level of discipleship. So you each keep each other accountable. This isn't something that is optional. Well, I've opted out of that, Mark. No. whoo, full stop again. This is not optional. There are two things that the church is supposed to be doing, and only two things. Number one, salvation, the salvation of every person possible. And number two, the discipleship of that person. End of story. Preparing the bride of Christ for Jesus's return. End. This is it. So we just unpacked the whole thing right there. I just unpacked everything. And so this is what this show is doing. It's like, this has to start at a grassroots level of waking up. And then what do we do? So, Mark's telling me to look in the mirror. That's what I'm saying. And clean this thing out from top, the head, the brain, right here, what's happening in this brain. From top to bottom, we are making choices for our lives that are absolutely pure, pure to the purest, to the holiest of actions that you can possibly imagine in regards to your speech, in regards to the talk with your family, your children, your parents. Everything you can imagine is holy and pure. And that's because you have professed your sins, even if it takes getting saved again, or rededicating my life. That's what some people call it, whatever. Confess every sin. But here's where people get, this is where the bog is, right? If you have offended someone and they're still alive, you have to go and make amends. Because, oh, I'm so sorry, Lord. Oh, guess what? You forgot to go tell the person sorry. Oh, so this is where it gets like tricky, because until you can, so we have to be pure. Okay, let's check that off the box. We have to start here, right here, pointing at me instead of pointing at the church, instead of pointing at the pastor. We'll get to them in a minute. We have to start right here and purify to the most. There's nobody's going to be perfect. We're going to sin every day. We're going to sin multiple times a day. We get that, but we try and we purify this thing into the most amazing, like, spectacle of purity that you can't even fathom. Like, you can fathom it, but you can't imagine how that's going to make you do, right? But part of that, as a substrate, is, again, if you can't just say, I'm so sorry for offending Brenda. Oh, Brenda, would Lord Jesus, I just did Brenda so wrong. And then you never go talk to Brenda? Do you see how ridiculous that is? No, you go to Brenda and you beg her forgiveness. And then there's something else. What do you mean? Forgiveness, it's like I said the other day, a man beats on a woman for 10 years. And then when he says he's sorry, that's it. No, it's called amends. You make amends. And it's that amends is negotiated with the victim. You don't have to have a magistrate come in, a judge come in and tell you to go do community service. Do you all not realize that the judge, let's just take a second here. The judges are because you don't know how to make amends. I'm not talking about for murder, obviously, but why do we have judges? It's because these human, these idiot, we don't know how to make amends. We don't understand the gravity of our actions. We have to have a judge tell us to do the action, to do the going, the making amends, community service or whatever, defensive driving, whatever. So, like I said, last week's show was part of my testimony, Out of the Rain, and a couple things that happened to me specifically that I put in a song. And what did I do? I was my own judge and jury, and I said, enough is enough. I will not drink another drop, another ounce of alcohol. 1994 in May. It's done. I'm done. And it is still there with the grace of God. It's actually, like I said last week, there's not even ever tempting to me. Ever. Because God not only healed me, it's like I don't have to talk about it. It's done. What's done is done. I made a promise to God. I no one had to force me to do it. I did it myself. I mean, How weak are we? Now, as a personal trainer, right? As a personal trainer, we have to ask, I'm constantly seeing this on my client, like, you could do 10 times more than what you're doing. They're over there doing the twos like this. Oh, I just don't want to do any more, Mark, with the twos. And I understand if you're 97 years old. I gotcha. But you understand. Anyway, enough of that. I mean, this is why being doing this show and being a personal trainer has been so like perfect for me, because I don't have to mess around with people's nonsense of excuses. I know about excuses. I know about excuses. Okay, so we just had to pull our big boy pants on and our big girl pants. Come on, pull those pants up. Come on, pull them up, tie them up, lace those shoes. It's time to get on with the full armor of God. Stop drinking milk. So we do. So that thing that we're doing right here, we're self policing. We're self policing. There's not a cop for every person in this town. Like a pastor. There's not a pastor for every person in your church. So who does the policing? And I'm using the word policing when I'm going to switch it right now to who does the discipleship. What do you do when you honk your horn out in the car? You're honking your horn. You're policing your fellow person. What do you do in Walmart when someone's getting in a fight? You tell them to stop. That's policing. That's called discipleship. Like you could literally interchange the idea of policing someone like our pastor does, right? But our pastor doesn't do it individually. Like the police is going to take that guy down and put him in handcuffs. No, our pastor's not doing that. And I made the point to say a pastor could do one parishioner per week and say, I'm going to give this parishioner 3 to 5 hours of my entire whatever. You name the day, Monday, Tuesday, probably not Wednesday, but Monday, Tuesday, to Thursday. Monday, Tuesday, or Thursday, I'm going to let my parishioners set up a time. We're going to put it on the calendar. I'm going to have an open calendar to the public of all my parishioners, and they're going to set up a time, and we are going to have a one-on-one where I am going to ask them about their sin. We're going to become besties, and I'm going to take care of my flaw. That is called discipleship. I've never seen it. Ever. I've never seen it. Have you? I make this point. I've already said this. I'm just repeating. I would love it because I need accountability. You need accountability. Accountability is amazing. It's the most amazing thing ever. That's why I was in business. I've been in business and I'm still going 24 years running. People love accountability. So we have to police ourselves, and we go to Brenda, back to Brenda. And we go, hi, Brenda, can we negotiate here? I really did you wrong. And here's the tricky part. Even if Brenda goes, oh, don't worry about it. No. Full stop. Brenda says, don't worry about it. You, again, you are policing yourself. What do you say? Come on, Joanne out there. Joanne, what do you do, Joanne? You tell Brenda, no, Brenda, I'm going to hook you up. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. I'm going to do this. And I'm going to do that. And I'm telling you right now, I am going to make amends. So if you don't think I owe you anything, you're wrong. I was wrong. And I'm going to make amends. So that is the thing. That is the thing. We got to make amends, folks. This is not rocket science. So this is what we do. And then remember where I was next step situation a moment ago. So now we have cleaned ourselves out and we've made amends with those folks that we have wronged. We did the wrong. We make amends. And maybe it's a gray area, by the way. Maybe it's a gray area between you and something that happened. And you're just not sure if you did someone wrong. This happens. You're just not sure. There was a he said, she said, but you still want to get the olive branch out and go, hey, come on. Remember the thing we were arguing about? Now, by the way, I'm not saying this in totality, but hopefully the person that you did wrong is a Christian. Because if that person is a Christian, shouldn't the love of God just totally be enveloping their mind for your apology, enveloping their spirit? and the Holy Spirit of God that's within them, shouldn't the Holy Spirit, I mean, yes, of course the answer is yes, they should reciprocate depending upon the harm. So it gets tricky. We get in the weeds, but at some point you don't ever walk. So I said that wrong. I was about to say at some point you give up. No, you actually never give up on the apology. So if you've got, let's say you did a list of 10 people that you needed to apologize for and make amends for, and 9 of them did it and you got it taken care of, but there's one. Do you give up on the one? No, you did not. Because thank God there's a story about the prodigal son. Though there's a story. Oh, I'm going to write a song right now. Where's my guitar? I'm going to write a new song. So we're going to write a new song about the prodigal son. Well, by the way, I've already got one. It's on the way. Okay. Don't worry about it. It's on the way. So what happened to the father who represented God in the story? Okay. The father never gave up. Okay. You do not give up on this person. Now, obviously, I'm not saying the father offended the son. I'm saying that you're going to continue to go back to that same 10th person that never did accept your apology. You're going to keep going back. Praise God, amen. You're going to keep going back once a year, once every 2 years. You're just going to keep doing it. So there it is. And so why am I spending so much time when we've got a hellacious world out there? Because now we get to the final point where you are walking in unbelievable purity. Right? Now what? Now we're ready to begin. That's it. Now we're ready to begin. Figuring out as a group, as a collective, as laymen, right? Because our pastors are giving us, unfortunately, this is objectively true. We have, because of what I just explained with the discipleship error, this unbelievable lack of discipleship, the laymen have to get together and finally say, you know what? This is not right. This is not right at all. Do I have to stand up and I have to take control here? Do I have to say enough is enough? Where's all the money going to the church? There's a new show coming out at the end of this year. Yes, they are going to charge for it. Yeah, so we're back to the money situation. Follow the money. But guess what this show is going to reveal, even though you have to pay for it? It's going to reveal how much money the church is wasting. And they say it's into the so many billions of dollars that the top 20 social issues could be solved in the world, not America, in the world. Say it again. The top 20 social issues in the world could be solved. I think that means homeless. I think that means hungry. I think that means some of these diseases that people, that some of these universities have patents on. We could get into that another day, right? The patents that these universities are holding for ransom. So you have to pay to get the patent. It's sickening. These are our universities. These are public universities, folks, making money on cures. Look it up. But I'm just saying, so we've got so many problems. It's multi-layered, right? But here's what we do. We got to say, whoa. Oh, there's a lot to say here. So you brought up my free time. And how, yeah, Mark, I may be wasting my free time. But Mark, I'm so old. Mark, I'm old. I'm weak. Don't you know my back hurts? Don't you know my knee hurts? Don't you know my hips hurt? Oh, and how am I supposed to do something without getting paid? Well, you got the wrong idea there. That's the whole problem with the church, is that the volunteerism, which is the number one thing that Jesus did in the New Testament, 100% volunteerism, by the grace of God and by the faith. You heard that word there? You heard that word before? By the faith that we live, God takes care of us in every way. Like he feeds the birds of the air, like he waters them. I've been helping him out over here. I got a bird bath. I've been helping him out. I've been like, you know what? I'm going to take care of these birds. But God's doing it. I just like seeing them. Right, so we get the free time, and then we start going, hey, you're going to grab that baton? Are you going to grab that baton? Oh, thanks for reminding me that the baton's there, Mark. I really didn't want you to remind me that the baton was there. Yeah, I've been looking at the baton. It's bright. It's red. It's glowing. I didn't want to see the baton, but Mark, you keep reminding me that the baton is there. I just didn't want to grab it. You got skills, friend. I'm talking to Christians, obviously. You got skills, and you're sitting back thinking this retirement is amazing or this life is amazing. And man, I really enjoy my free time. Why would I give it to God? Oh yeah, I am a Christian, full blood, full blooded, full blown and full blooded, Mark. I'm a Christian, don't you know? Didn't I tell you that, Mark? Now leave me alone, okay? Now it's time to do something. We're all called to action. This is what I'm saying. So in totality, my entire life in song has been sitting here watching this Christian light, which, you know, maybe I coined that. I actually need to look it up. This Christian light situation where there is no action. It's all lovey-dovey, pats on the back every Sunday, and a generic message from the pulpit that, again, is to the group. And what did I tell you about the group? All right, I love this. I'll maybe try a little different this time. What happens, right? What happens in wrestling? When the wrestler comes out and he calls everybody in the stadium a bunch of redneck trailer trash, what happens? Everybody thinks that he's talking about the guy beside you, the girl beside you, the girl in the front row. No. He's talking to you, but you don't want to hear that you're a trailer trash redneck or whatever. Now, I know that that's in jest and that's funny, but this is what's happening on Sunday morning. The pastor is preaching in a generic fashion. He's trying to disciple, but he's doing it in a group form, which, by the way, is still valid, right? It's still valid. But it's just not the, pastors need to be doing individual discipleship too, like I just explained. But what I'm saying is we're all in mass, just clearly thinking that this message is for Sally over here on the third row, second person over. And for Ted over here, fifth row, 10th guy over, right? And all these people, other than you, that message isn't for me. It's absurd. Do you understand? It's absurd. And I'm sitting here as a layman. I've sat here and watched it my entire church life, which is my entire life. I sat here and watched the nonsense. And I see nothing happening with our community in a Christian, like, I'm not saying all, again, not all, but most. Look around you. Our country's falling apart. And so then why? Then you have to get to the next step. Why can't we do anything about what's happening outside that window? And then we get to the 501c3, and I'm going to talk you guys into this because it's so simple, and you have to talk me out of it at this point. What's the 501c3? It's a tax-free status where two things are off limits. The state mandates that if you are tax-free, which everyone is, every church is, the state mandates that you not talk about legislation and that you do not interfere in elections. This is a fact. It's right there on the .gov. It's so simple. It's literally a paragraph right there. I put it up on the screen anyway. It's so easy to find in the PDF. Just look up 501c3.gov or whatever. It's not a .gov, but it's a .gov doc. And see for yourself that the church has to remain lips sealed about impending legislation. What is legislation, folks? It's what's happening. It's the morality in essence. It's the laws that enforce or break down morality of our communities, morality of the state, morality of the country. Don't y'all get it? We have made a deal with the devil, and we need to get away from that building, church. So now I'm on a whole new thing. We're ready for home churches. Now, yes, I'm ready. We're ready for home churches. We have to. Again, somebody convinced me otherwise. It's an institution that will not change. They're going to continue to pay everyone's mortgage, everyone's salary, everyone's, and this is not where we're going. This is not what we need. I try to explain. I had a gym for 21 years before COVID. 21 years, it was empty on Sunday mornings. I've had now a dress shop. For 8 years, it was empty on Sunday mornings. Complete air-conditioned environment. I would have let anybody who wanted to meet in there for church, I would have let them do it. Anybody for free. Home church, whatever. Our brains are broken because we like these churches that are beautifully made and the statues of stone and the artwork. And this is my place of worship. Oh, that beautiful artwork, the unbelievable chiseled stone. And then I looked up today and these guys were getting paid. They didn't do it for Jesus. They were getting paid. They were commissioned by the Pope. All the popes were commissioning these people to do it. That means getting paid. Does it sound any different from the pastor getting paid? No, everyone's getting paid. Everyone's getting paid. And then what did I say? If you had 10 people in a room and 9 of them are there out of the goodness of their heart, they're volunteers and they are there because they love Jesus and they want to serve Jesus. Would the 10th person who's on a payroll be there next Sunday if you stopped paying him? I'll wait. Go ahead. Come on now. Oh, you squirming a little bit? You're getting a little, starting to get hot in here. Starting to get a little sweaty. Would the 10th person, who by the way, happens to be in charge, would he be there next Sunday, or would you have to start doing planning for the next pastor? If you have to start planning because that person wants to get paid and he's going to go to the church down the street, if you have to start planning to hire a new pastor, you're doing it wrong. You're doing it wrong. So, what a Monday it's been. This is on my heart. It's always on my heart. It's so frustrating because we have people that are capable, that are not being challenged. We have a church that is corrupt because of the 501c3 status. No wonder we live like this. No wonder. And I just pray that this somehow or another, we can get on our knees and just start to see reality because there are so many Christians and church people who want to argue about whether a guy swallowing a sword and doing it with the backdrop of fire and how that's wrong and how someone who called him out shouldn't have done it because this other pastor was in charge and he shouldn't have undermined the main pastor. And then of course he said he was sorry, and then they brought him back out on stage and then they made up. And then later that guy who said he was sorry, who first called out the fire breathing, whatever, the fire and the sword, he changed his tune and now he wants to sell a book. Folks, are you following this unbelievable narrative? It's just absurd. It's absurd on a level that cannot be measured, because that's not even important. What's important is what I just talked about. The discipleship of a person in mass. Okay. And again, the pastor's not supposed to do it all. It's supposed to be your brothers and sisters in Christ, that unbelievable communion between God's new disciples. That's you and me. We are his new disciples. Do you think Matthew and John and all the ones, right? All the disciples, don't you think they discipled each other and corrected each other and got one-on-one with each other and says, you need to stop this sin? Don't you think they did that? Of course they did that. They didn't wait on Jesus to say it. And then they showed it by going and starting up churches and then writing letters of correction. That's what the letters are, folks. Their letters are corrections to the churches. Of correction, because they didn't. I guess maybe John was in jail or somebody was in jail. He was writing these letters of correction to the Corinthians and to the Romans or whatever. All the books of the Bible, they're letters of correction. It's just like, hello, is anybody, hello, is it, knock, knock. I'm knocking on my brain right now. Is anybody there? Is anybody there? Wake up, church, wake up. I gotta get this going here. I need your help. I need you to take this little football or baton that I've just handed you and go, you know what? Or let's call it a football, because I want you to hold on to that baton. But I want to say the football I just passed you, I want you to pass it on down. And let's keep going. Let's pass that football until we get more ears hearing this message. So simple. The message of repentance. Nobody wants to hear that message, do they, Mark? Nobody wants to hear that message. Repent? Oh, come on, man. I ain't doing nothing wrong. I ain't never done nothing. I ain't doing nothing wrong. Man, I'm a good person. You talking to somebody else, man. Okay. While your world goes to hell, just remember, this is not rocket science, and I'm asking you to pray about this, pray about what I'm saying, and test it for yourself. All right, folks. Oh, man, I got going tonight. It is time for a five-song concert. Pick Me Up, Lord. It's an amazing song. Hear the lyrics again. I love this song. I love it, love it, love it. Because I got my thumb out, right? And I'm like a hitchhiker. And guess who's going to pick me up? Do you know who's going to pick me up? Oh, it's going to be the Lord. He's going to pick me up. Oh, this hitchhiker's going to, he's going to get picked up. Okay, while I'm there, let me pull back and do. And so here we go. We're going to go back to a certain song. And we're going to start it off tonight. So this will be one. 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. And this should be, let me make sure, should be 1, 2, 3. No, it should be a One Lifetime. Yep, I knew it. Perfect. One Lifetime it is. Give me just a second to grab some water and see what we got here. One Lifetime. Time to grab this guitar with Tank and Capo here. By the way, the first song on Monday, as you may know, the first song. What happens to the first song on Monday? It goes bye-bye because I've already sang it enough times. And we have to drop one song. We have to drop one song because we have to do Pick Me Up, Lord, which should have a comma right after up. But it doesn't have a comma, does it? And that's my mistake. Pick Me Up, comma, Lord. But you know what? We all make mistakes in life, don't we? I couldn't help. I just figured it out this afternoon. I'm like, you know what? That deserved a comma. That's okay. I copyrighted it without the comma. So yeah, whatever. All right, friends. One Lifetime. Let's get the show on the road. Five songs. Here we go. Last time for One Lifetime. One of my faves, man. Whoa, this is an old one. Love it. If you wanted to hear this song in about a year from now, go ahead and give me a request. I'd love to hear. I'd love to see that request. Here we go. One lifetime. Choosing to give. Choosing to live. One Savior. He is alive. He cannot lie. When all is come and gone, there is no fear. He is still here. Emotion, devotion. Give it to Him. If you want to live on this rock I stand. While I'm digging in the dirt, let's all clap our hands. And nobody gets hurt. The physiology of the church is not the steeple. It's the people that sow and reap far. Oh, one lifetime. Choosing to give, choosing to live. One Savior, He is alive, He cannot lie. When all has come and gone, there is no fear.
He is still here. Emotion, devotion, give it to him. If you want to live, here. Live, 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 live. Buy, buy, buy. Sell, sell, sell. Take freedom and make it wealth. Brother Love has lingo and B-I-N-G-O-O-O for the steeple, but not lost people. Oh, one lifetime, choosing to give, choosing to live. One savior, he is alive, he cannot lie. When all has come and gone, there is no fear, he is still here. Emotion, devotion, give it to him. Love you all, yeah. Bring on the horns! Bada bum, bum, bada bum, bum, bada bum, bum. Na 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 bum, bada bum, bum, bada bum, bum. Na 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 na. One lifetime, choosing to give, choosing to live. Just one savior, he is alive, he cannot lie. Ooh. When all is come and gone, there is no fear, he's still here. Emotion, emotion, give it to him. If you wanna, if you wanna, if you wanna, do you wanna live? Bum, bada bum, bum, bada bum, bum, bada bum. Do you wanna live? Bum, bada bum, bum, bada bum, bum, bada bum. Do you wanna live? Want to live, yeah. All for one lifetime, choosing to give, choosing to live. Just one savior, he is alive, he cannot lie. When all is come and gone, there is no fear, he is still here. Emotion, devotion, give it to him. You wanna, do you wanna live?
Praise God, beautiful thing. Oh, bye bye, one lifetime. It's time for another one here. 1, 2, 3, 4, song number 2. 1, 2, 3, 4. Coming at you. Praise God. One, two, three, four.
The bad wolf is at the door, trying to make you think you're alone.
Excuse me.
You're alone, and that's what makes you weak. Well, I want you to know the lie is where he makes his home. Just call upon my name and I will come. Hear my child, I won't let you fall. You're not alone. No, you're not alone. 1, 2, 3, 4. Leave all your troubles at the door. And tell me of a place that you wanna run to, 'cause I wanna take you where the sun shines bright and I'll be there to hold you in my arms forever. You tried everything you know for happiness and peace, but the voices in your head are or heart disease. The Lord says in Him we have redemption through the blood He shed. The peace of God is waiting. Hear what He says. He's saying, hear my child, I won't let you fall. You're not alone. No, you're not alone. 1, 2, 3, 4. Leave all your troubles at the door and tell me of a place that you wanna run to. 'Cause I wanna take you where the sun shines bright and I'll be there to hold you in my arms forever. In my arms, in my arms, in my arms forever. In my arms, in my arms, in my arms forever. Together, whatever the weather. Ooh, ooh. Count 'em, 1, 2, 3, 4. Leave all your troubles at the door. Tell me of a place that you wanna run to. 'Cause I wanna take you where the sun shines bright and I'll be there to hold you in my arms forever. Ooh, forever.
Now we could just get Celine Dion to sing that song, and then I wouldn't have to worry about my voice having breaks, a lot of breaks there. It's, on a side note here, I gotta be honest, sometimes writing these songs, I'm just like, how did I write this song that's clearly meant for a professional, whatever, to sing with the voice that... it's up there, and it's up there, and it's up there. God, no, you've really been good to me. Thank you for doing that. Thank you for giving me those songs. Let me get you to the next song, which is, ooh, everybody loves this song, Palm of Your Hand. Let's pull it up. Oh, let's actually make sure we're there. We got, yes, move this out of the way just for a moment. Great, Palm of Your Hand. Thanks for putting up with my voice tonight, because honestly, let's take a look here. Ooh. You ever heard a thing called pollen in the South? Yeah, that's right. That would be me. That would be where I'm at right now. So thanks for the appreciation for not being so mad at me about my voice. Let's move on. Here we go. Boom. And it will be given. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door will be open to you. Don't you know He's waiting to hear from you? Hold me in the palm of your hand. When I am weak, there you are strong. Hold me in the palm of your hand.
changing me for the world to see. What do you have to give? Have you any faith that his words will not return void? And don't you know he's waiting, so patiently waiting for you. Hold me in the palm of your hand. When I am weak, there you are strong, so strong. Hold me in the palm of your hand, changing me for the world to see. Just like sheep in the fold, don't know which way to go. Ooh, to be complete, yet so unique. He just wants to hear you say, hey, yeah, yeah. Hold me in the palm of your hand. When I am weak, there you are strong, so, so strong. Hold me in the palm of your hand, changing me for the world to see. Yeah, yeah. Hold me in the palm of your hand. When I am weak, there you are strong, so, so strong. Hold me in the palm of your hand, changing me for the world to see. Changing me for the world to see. Changing me for the world to see.
And that was number three. One, two, three. I got two more. Sinner's Prayer being number four tonight. Let's see what we have. Do, 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 do. What a great way to spend a Monday. Singing about Jesus. Oh, wrong guitar here. Sinner's Prayer. Great. So please forgive me, 'cause I am a sinner. Oh Lord, I need you. Oh Lord, I need you.
forgave me. And I thank you, I praise you, give my life to you. 'Cause I was lost as lost could be, in need of a savior. And you forgave me and made me a Christian. Oh Lord,
here we are. One more for the road on a Monday. Slow down. There we go. We can slow down. We can speed up and then slow down, right? Running in every direction. Let me make sure that this is number five. So 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. Slow down. Here we go. Nope. Wrong cape. Wrong fret. Someone who runs in every direction, you sure seem sure of yourself. Kinda like a cannonball, just a very arranged mess, and that's a fact. You kinda remind me of me, and the funny thing is, that's how I used to be. If we could slow down, slow down. If we could slow down. Here's a toast from yours truly. You've done everything in a world just about a half a mile turn right, and you have arrived. You kinda remind me of me before I felt my need. Where I need to be. If we could slow down. If we could slow down. Walking in a wrong direction, you're not alone. The gate is wide for this deception. Follow along. Your neighbor's fault won't be protection from right and wrong. Slow down. There's a box blaring out there, and a book in a corner, a thought for the family a long time ago.
There's a moment you missed just a second ago. It was yours to have with you, and you're not giving nothing when the well is empty and you're not thirsty. You're missing is there in the dead of silence. Put your hand to your chest and feel the beat. You have been made complete, and every breath to breathe for you, for me, is a gift to pray, a name to praise, a seed to preach. Slow down, slow down, slow down. If we could slow down, slow down. Slow down, slow down, slow down, ooh. Slow down. Slow down, slow down.
Praise God. We made it. Did my clicker make it? Oh, yes. Okay. We made it through the five-song concert. Thanks for hanging in there with me. Let's do a little outro here. Want to learn more about this show? Visit my website, mwdhq.com, mwdhq.com. From there, guess what? You can download free demos of each song of the week. That's right. Everything's free around here. And those little PNG lyric pages as well. Download them on your phone and, yeah, start singing along to them. You can download them on your phone. What? And sing along to them with, yes, you could. And you pull up the thing and sing along. You got the words right there. Little cheat sheet there. You know, you can email me from the Connect page. Please subscribe to this channel. Have you subscribed? Come on now. Let's get that subscription so it'll show up in your news feed. You don't have to find me anymore. That's right. And get notifications for when I go live. Remember now, we're on lots of good channels and we're on every podcast in the world. Just look up Church Prep with MWD or something like that. It should pop right up, okay? All right, let's see. Join me as I prep you for church and explore the significant meanings of salvation and discipleship. Become a Christian. Begin to walk the talk. Strengthen your walk with God. Get inspired by what I'm saying. Pass it on as you begin to challenge your friends and family with the words, with your words and actions. We gotta do more than words now. We can't do Christian light anymore. We gotta start eating some meat, man. You know, we're on the milk, folks. Let's get it. Become a better husband, wife, son, daughter, mother, granddad, grandmother, neighbor, friend, and leader, and follower. I got two questions for you tonight. Number one, what is the thing that God's called you to do? That's what you do in your free time. You understand that, right? Both regarding your life's purpose and this very day. Number two, have you passed it forward by challenging and encouraging someone today? Let's put this into practice right now. Which of the following statements could you share with someone or absorb right now? The reason I say the statements is that this kind of leads to a little bit more than just the nonchalant kind of thing. Like, oh yeah, he's talking to somebody else. He's not talking to me. I'm sure he's not talking to me. How about this? Do you need this right now? Do you need this? Here's a statement for you. I believe in you. First of all, because you're smart, you're good looking, and you're capable. Ooh, I believe in you. You're capable. I want to help you. This isn't me saying it. It's for you to possibly say it to someone else. But, you could take it from me too. I want to help you. Next one, I've been praying for you. Of course, we all say that, don't we? Say it more. I used to hate that. I haven't told you. I know I've said this 100 times. I used to hate saying people that say that. But then I was like, you know what? It is good saying it. I've been praying for you. It's kind of like saying, man, it's great to see you. Even when you just like, it's just saying it. It's great to see you. I've been praying for you. It's great to see you. Yes. Change it up a little bit. I've been praying for you. You know, I've been praying for you. You really shouldn't say it unless you mean it. But anyway, here's another one. I was wrong. I'm sorry. And I want to make amends. I was wrong. I'm sorry. And I want to make amends. Ooh, you kind of have to make amends if you say I'm wrong. And I'm sorry. Let's make amends out there tonight. Let's do it. Let's get pure. Please forgive me. That's kind of connect. We have to connect that. We have to say that as well. I'm sorry is not enough. Please forgive me. You get a response from the victim, don't you? From my heart and soul, thank you. I sincerely love you. God loves you. God is patiently waiting for you. God has a purpose for your life, both daily and in general. Do you know what it is? Let's find out. It's not too late, folks. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining my church prep family. I'll see you LIVE live. If you're on the channels that go live, okay, let's see. Instagram goes live, Facebook no longer goes live. So we got Instagram, Rumble, download the Rumble app. You can do that from the store. It's available. It's a little green arrow, okay? Like an arrowhead. So I'm on Instagram, Rumble, YouTube, and Twitter. And I've heard some really good things lately about how Twitter's about to take over the whole thing. They're rolling out some stuff. I know it sounds crazy, but I'm on there. Been on there. Yes, join me live on those four channels, or you can watch me on record on all those channels as it plays back, and of course, Facebook as well. So anyway, I will see you live Wednesday at 8 p.m. Eastern for the Song of the Week's backstory. Pick me up, Lord. I got my thumb out. To God be the glory.